Well, today we will be talking about spiritual gifts, and I'm going to start with a story. It's a story about a boy named Antonio, and Antonio always wanted to make music. Antonio loved music. It was in his being to want to create beautiful sounds that inspired people. But unfortunately, Antonio's voice wasn't that great. It was high and squeaky, so he did not make the tryouts for the Cremona Boys Choir. Yet Antonio had this passion, this call. He wanted to make music. His friends gave him a hard time because his only talent seemed to be whittling things. When he took violin lessons, the neighbors persuaded his parents to make him stop because he infected the whole neighborhood with squeaks and groans after school when he would practice. So poor Antonio. He couldn't sing. He couldn't play an instrument. What was he to do? Well, one day Antonio found the gift he had been searching for all along. When he got a little bit older, he served as an apprentice to a violin maker. His knack for whittling grew into a skill of carving, and his hobby became a craft. He worked patiently and faithfully. By the time he died, he had carved over 1,500 violins, each one bearing a label that read Antonio Stradivarius. Antonio Stradivarius. As many of you know, these are the most sought-after violins in the world and sell for more than 100,000 at least each. Antonio couldn't sing or play, but his responsibility was to use his gift of whittling to fulfill his passion to make music. And those violins are still making beautiful music today. Well, the key idea this morning that we want to talk about together is this. I know my spiritual gifts, and I will use them to fulfill God's purposes. So we have some of our youth and Carlin going. They're going to come up, and they're going to hand you out gifts. I was in a generous mood this past week, and I bought you all gift bags, and they're going to hand those out. So take a gift bag out of the basket and just hold on to it, all right, for a minute before you open it up. They're kind of crinkly. I expect to hear crinkles, and that's fine as I go on. So take a bag out of the basket and just hold on to it for a minute as we pass these out. Now I told you to hold the bag and not open it. I'm going to have you open it in a minute. But supposing next week I asked you, did you like the gift that I gave you? And you said to me, oh, that? I haven't opened it. How would that make me feel? It would make me feel that you didn't really appreciate the gift that I had given, right? And so the same thing with God, because God is a giver, right? God is a giver. He has given us himself in Jesus Christ as the greatest gift of all. This morning we're celebrating communion. Often we call these elements gifts. Sometimes I'll say the phrase, these are the gifts of God for the people of God, all right? So all through Scripture, we learn that God is a gift giver. He has given every one of you in this room a gift, at least one, if not more, to use for a calling that he has put on your heart. Now, if I were to ask you right now, what is the gift that God has given you that he wants you to use to to build up his kingdom, either here at church or in the world, I'm wondering how many of you would know what your gifts are. I think for many of us, even if we acknowledge that God has given us gifts, and we would say that, we still may not be sure what specific gifts he's given to us. Or we think, oh, I'm not good enough for God to give me any gifts. Or we downplay ourselves. And God is saying, no, you are the church. You are the people of God. At some point you asked me into your heart, I have given you gifts. Discover what they are. Now, we've talked before about what a call is. A call is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. Sometimes we feel passionate about something and we want to either work on a problem, or we feel passionate about something and we're full of joy about it and we want to do something. Often that's a call. And I asked you last Sunday to think about what that call on your life might be. Once you find that call, once you find what you're passionate about, often the gifts that God has given to you will match that passion, will match that call. Operating in your area of giftedness also means that you experience very often a sense of flow. And by that I don't mean that you're not going to have challenges as you do ministry. We all face challenges. But that sense of flow means that you have been given the gift to do a particular kind of ministry, and it isn't so hard because God's given you the gifts and the ability to do it. This one writer puts it this way, says, you have been shaped for service in this particular area. Now, if you're the wrong shape for a certain kind of ministry, no matter how hard you try to put your shape into a different shaped hole or need, that piece is never going to fit into that box, right? No matter how you jam it or cram it, right? So God has shaped us for certain kinds of ministry. You only complete the picture or the puzzle, you could say that is the church. The picture is a better probably word. But if you are shaped for that particular spot, and there you go. You have that shape fitting into that hole, that need, and it's much easier to see that happen. So burnout can often come when we're trying to fill a role that is not who we were shaped by God to be. Not our area of giftedness. This is so important for us. Now, Antonio Stradivarius had a little bit of a time of trial and error, didn't he, before figuring out that he could make beautiful violins. He knew that he had a passion to make music, right? But how he was to do that was something he had to experiment with in order to find the right match or gifting that God had given him. He had to try out a few things first. I'm very impressed with you. You've sat there for a long time not opening your gifts, and that's really good. That speaks to delayed gratification at work here in the church. But now if you would, you can open the gifts. Now, it may not be the most exciting gift you've ever received, but these are stones. And they're stones that we used last week in building Nehemiah's wall. If you were here last week, you all came up, you built a wall with stones, and you put them in place so that they stood up. Now what I would like you to do is to take these stones home with you and pray about what your spiritual gift is. Because even though we all put the stones in the wall last week, there may be certain spots in that wall where you are gifted to serve. All right? The more specific we can get on this, the less burnout we're going to have in the church as a whole. So your challenge this week is to take these rocks, stones home. Use a Sharpie marker when you know. But in the story of Daniel, he had to pray about it, didn't he? And he may have tried other things before. I don't know. But Antonio certainly did before he found his gifts. So praying, not being afraid to try new things, and being aware of what your call is. All these things are important in finding out our spiritual gifts. Never doubt it. You have been given gifts by the Holy Spirit, but sometimes as Christians, we don't open them. We don't discover what they are. Now, just to clarify, we haven't been given gifts by God just to improve ourselves. No one is given the gift of leadership so that they can make or manipulate people to do what they want. God doesn't give someone the gift of exhortation so they can become a rich TV preacher. God does not place within you the gift of hospitality so that you can become Martha Stewart, but so that you can welcome and care for people, right? God does not give the gift of help so that you can have newspaper articles or blogs written about you, how good you are, but so that you can help people. 1 Peter 4 says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. That's the point. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. However, in giving these gifts away, we also do receive just simply, we receive back just simply in the joy, right, of doing what God has gifted us to do. So 1 Corinthians 12:11 says this, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So, when you discover your gift, know that the Holy Spirit has done that for you. Right? Has done that for you. And that's a wonderful thing. All right. So depending on who's counting, there are anywhere between 15 and 25 different spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament. Here is a gift grouping. You have service gifts, which include administration, pastoring, faith, giving, help, serving, hospitality, and mercy. You have speaking gifts, which include wisdom, prophecy, evangelism, exhortation, leadership, and teaching. You have sign gifts, which include discernment, miracles, healings, tongues, and interpretation. So, if this is a little confusing and vague to you, I just want to illustrate this in a very simple way. Suppose someone here spilled their coffee this morning. Did anybody spill their coffee? Well, I did. But anyway, okay. So one situation, different people with different gifts will respond differently to that occurrence. So if you have the service gift and somebody spilled their coffee, you would say, what? Let me help you clean that up, right? If you have a mercy gift, you might say, I'm so sorry that happened. Let me get you another cup. If you have the gift of giving, you might say, here, you can have my cup. Administration would be, Josh, would you get the mop? Carol, please help pick this up. Misty, could you help him get another cup of coffee? The gift of faith might respond, where God empties one cup, he always fills another. Teaching, if you pay attention, you won't spill your coffee next time. Exhortation, maybe you should let someone else hold your coffee for you. Wisdom, no use crying over spilled coffee. Miracles, let's ask God to put the coffee back in the cup. Healing, I'm praying against any physical or emotional trauma caused by the spilled coffee. Prophecy, if you keep doing that, you're going to get burned. All right, it's humorous, but it does illustrate, doesn't it, how one thing we respond in different ways, given our orientation and our gifting. So there is actually a spiritual gift assessment tool. It's in, the link is in your bulletin, and you can try that too. It's a series of questions online. And I'd recommend you give it a try if you're having a hard time figuring out your gifts. The problem is, though, that you don't necessarily discover your gifts by studying the Bible or taking assessments. Those things help. But you primarily discover your gifts by trying things out, like Antonio did in the story I shared at the beginning. Knowing your passion and figuring out how you've been gifted to fulfill that passion, okay? So just like Antonio found that his whittling, he can make music that way. So don't determine your response to God's call by looking at what this is so important, by looking at what you think you are talented at. That's different. Look at your God first and respond yes to his call, and then he will equip you for the work. So you can stop worrying about what you're going to do for God. Just ask God what he wants to do in you and through you, and then be ready to respond. And when you respond to God's leading, that's like opening up the gifts you may not know you even had, or you'd forgotten about. I shared with all of you before that I was never supposed to be able to speak. When I was very young, I put the end of an electric cord in my mouth, and the doctor at Boston Children's Hospital said, "She will never speak again." Well, I'm standing here speaking to you now. I think you're understanding most of what I'm saying. And that was a miracle that happened to me at the beginning of my life. It's what I do. I've been doing for the last 30, 35 years, speaking to people. But despite that, I just want to share with you this morning that speaking in front of you is nothing that I would have ever sought after or thought that I was ever any good at. Believe it or not, I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes person, all right? I go a little more introvert on the Myers-Briggs. I like my space. I love to write. So speaking in front of people, if somebody had asked me when I was younger, "Is this a gift you have?" I never would have said that was so, okay? I was the shyest person in school. I would know the answer to a question, and I was afraid to raise my hand to say it. That's how scared I was. When somebody would come to the door, I ran the other way when I was a child, and I wouldn't answer the door. Even at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, where I was serving before I came here, they had 5 services, 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday that I was required to preach at. By the 5th service, I'm telling you, I went 90 miles an hour because I figured these people have heard this before. But it was a challenge. But every single time before I got up in front of people, I would feel sick to my stomach. I would be very nervous. Now, Walt, who was the senior pastor there and a mentor of mine, was no help at all because he was in his early 60s. Before he would get up to preach, he'd be sitting there in the back room shaking, all right? Shaking. He'd run into the bathroom from time to time to you know what, and he was that scared. He was that scared. And yet, he had a gift of speaking to people. And it was only through experience and honing and trying it out and responding to a call that I knew I had to go into ministry that this gift began to take shape. And I learned a lot at that church about how to help hone that gift. So all I'm saying to you is gifting is not always what you think you're good at. Gifting is often, when given by the Holy Spirit, something where God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. So that when we look and we see that we're fulfilling a passion that we have, but we know we wouldn't be good at doing A or task A or B, but it's happening, we can say, "That's you, God. That's you, God. That's not me." And God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's not that God can't use what we do well, but I just don't want to limit it to that. It goes beyond our talents and our abilities, what we're good at. It's when we respond to God's call, we say yes to God, He equips us for the task. God doesn't call the gifted. He gifts the call. He gifts the call. So it's so important to know what your call is, your passion, what moves your heart, what God is calling you to do. And as you step out and say yes to that call, you will discover your gifts. You will discover your gifts. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm hoping that as you pray about it, you take this rock home and you pray about it and you begin to try things, that you will get back to me, all right, on how this all is going. And put your gifting on your rock and put it somewhere prominent so that you can see it after you spent some time in prayer. All right? Okay. All right. Well, today, as I said, we're going to be celebrating communion. Jesus knew that his call from God was to go to the cross for us. But in the garden, he felt like he could not go through with it. If you remember, there's a part where he says, Lord, take this cup from me, right? And then in one of the Gospels, it says the angels came and strengthened him. They gifted him for the call that he was to go to the cross for us. So even right here, these gifts that he has given to us are here today because God gifted Jesus in his moment of need with the strength and perseverance to go to the cross for us. So let's go into prayer together as we begin our communion portion of the service. Lord God, thank you that you have gifted us all, and may we be faithful to discover our gifts and to know that you are the one who inspires them in us. Oh Lord, today we're especially thankful for Jesus. Lord, he was fully human as he went into Gethsemane before he gave his life for all of us. And he prayed for your strength. He prayed for the gifting of your power in him so that he could do what he could not do on his own. Thank you for such a great love that would do this for us. Lord, as we take these gifts that you have given to us, the gifts of juice and bread, we know that these are symbols, but also symbols that hold a mystery and tangible things we can take in that will allow us to receive you in a very real and powerful way. So calm our hearts in these moments. May we take these elements worshipfully. And may you set them apart in this time from a common to a sacred use, that you might be glorified in these moments we spend together. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.